This episode is sponsored by June Cashmere. I've worked with June Cashmere in the past. They have gorgeous yarns. Right now, their holiday shopping guide is on their website, including kits. They have kits. I love kits. They're putting it all together with kits. So we'll have a link in the show notes. You can check out those kits. But I wanted to say a little bit about June Cashmere and what they do, because not only do they make amazing yarns, but they're really careful about the sourcing of the fibers and everything else. If you want to see what I've done with their yarns before, I have a video called Good Tension Between Knit and Purl Stitches, and I used their pattern and their yarn to demonstrate how I get good tension between knit and purl stitches. But to say a little bit about the company, because I love what they're doing, June Cashmere ethically produces cashmere by eliminating the middlemen to work directly with shepherds, paying them 40% more income for their fiber than they previously earned. Shepherds comb the fiber rather than shear it for two important reasons. First, shearing the goats without their outer coat, which is still needed for the cold mountain temperatures. It leaves the goats with their outer coat. Sorry. Second, the shepherds earn more money by selling them just the cashmere fiber. Previously, when shepherds sheared goats and sold the lump fiber, they were paid very little because the cashmere is mixed in with the tough outer coat fiber, and it brought down the price. So by just selling the cashmere and culling their herds to breed for best fiber qualities, they earn more money, and they work with the shepherds to build small but exceptional quality herds in order to address land overuse issues known in the China-Mongolia area that impacts the environment. And if you go to their website or you go to their Instagram account, you can see these pictures of the herds and the shepherds and everything else. And to knitters, the important thing is their yarn. They process their cashmere in the British European tradition of minimal processing and washing. This creates a yarn that softens and blooms once a project is completed and washed for the first time, a process that continues with wearing and use. And I can say this firsthand, their yarn knits up really beautifully. I'm really happy with their yarn. I've used their yarn in the past, and now I'm excited about the fact that they have kits. And I guess we have some kits on the way. Casey and I are going to get a chance to check out some kits from June Cashmere. And are you excited, Casey?
I'm very excited.
You like cashmere, Casey?
Of course I do.
Okay. Well, in the show notes for this episode, I will have a link to June Cashmere and to their holiday shopping guide and to their Instagram account and to the video I've done for them in the past. And I'm glad they sent us this story. It's nice to know that the yarn that we're getting is ethically sourced.
Yeah, absolutely.
More info in the show notes. Welcome to the Very Pink Knits podcast, the companion podcast to the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel. I'm Stacy, and I'm here with Casey.
Hi there.
Casey is the media manager here at Very Pink, and she's also producing this show. If you'd like to get your knitting question on the show, just email it to podcast@verypink.com, and please tell us where you're from. This is episode 122, so we're going to put things in the show notes, and if you want to see those, you can go to verypink.com and click the podcast tab at the top of the page and look for episode 122. It'll also appear in the show notes in your podcast app, if that's what you're using to listen. And yep. We're back from vacation, not really vacation, we're back from Thanksgiving week where we didn't release an episode. How was your Thanksgiving, Case?
It was nice. We didn't do anything at all.
You ate. Didn't you eat?
We ate.
That's the important thing.
Yes. But we didn't come home with it. So we had it at my sister's house, and so everybody brought something. And then we got to take leftovers back, but we forgot to bring home turkey leftovers. I was so mad. So.
Oh my gosh. I have mostly turkey leftovers. If you want to share, you give me some mashed potatoes, I'll give you some turkey.
We already ate it all.
Yeah, it was good. And we had such beautiful weather over the weekend. Yeah. And it was really nice.
Sad yesterday when I had to set my alarm to get ready to go to school in the morning. And I was like, I'm really enjoying sitting around watching movies and knitting a lot, which is what I did. We watched a lot of movies.
Did you watch a lot of movies? Yes. Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a good holiday. I mean, I was still working. I had kind of, I mean, I know this sounds ridiculous, but there was a knitting emergency. And so I had to do a lot of knitting over the weekend to take care of something that needed to be done. But yeah, beautiful weather. Everybody yeah. was in kind of a relaxed mood because, well, it's just Thanksgiving in America, right?
Yeah. Mm. And traffic was like nil. Yeah.
Yes, I thought it was nice. Before we get into magically turning knitting questions into knitting answers, I did want to do a bit of housekeeping, and that is about our advertisers. We're doing, you know, we started this podcast, I really wanted to just have yarn companies and yarn shops and, you know, stuff like that as our advertisers, and it worked out that that wasn't going to work. There weren't enough of them, and so we took kind of these national brands, different things for advertisers, and that's fine, and that's working for us. The podcast still isn't really paying for itself, but that's okay. It's getting there. And but I want to open it up again and say to people who are local yarn shop owners or independent dyers, maybe selling their stuff on Etsy, podcast ads on our podcast, they're really affordable. Mm-hmm. Like getting a video with me is kind of expensive, but you know, to sponsor a video, but podcast ads are really affordable. So if you're interested, should we just give them, you tell them where to email if they're interested in getting information on advertisers.
You on can email Casey, C-A-S-E-Y, at verypink.com. And good. It works. Today, I actually screen grabbed a Turtle Pearl response on Instagram to somebody who heard about Turtle Pearl because of our podcast and bought herself some Turtle Pearl yarn. So it works.
Oh, that's good. Oh, we know it works. Our advertisers.
Like the bulletin boards that you see that say, does this work? It just did. So
does it? If you lived here, you'd be home by now. Those ads, right. Those billboards always got my attention. But it is true. And I would love to have our advertisers be more independent yarn dyers, local yarn shops, you know, things like that. That would warm my heart.
Yes.
And absolutely. It's really affordable. So email Casey, and it really does work. We hear back from advertisers all the time that the exposure was good, and we don't take advertisers that we don't feel good about. And I don't know that there's an independent yarn dyer out there that would be disappointing. I think they're all doing pretty amazing things. Okay, did you have anything else to say before we get into the knitting questions?
I do, actually.
Okay, go ahead.
I released my little hat pattern this weekend. I don't know if you know, you were too busy knitting with your knitting emergency.
Exactly.
So I put it out on Instagram and my blog, and it's on Ravelry. It's called Morning in the Mara, which is inspired by our trip to Kenya. That's the name of the national park reserve where we saw the animals. So I ended up buying bracelets from the people who live there, and I was looking at these bracelets because they're beaded, and I was like, that could be a knitting pattern. So I have big ideas in mind for another one, but that's going to take me a whole lot longer to do. So I've got my hat pattern out there, and all the proceeds from pattern sales are going to go back to a conservation group that helps the animals and the land and the people who live there. So,
oh, that's so great, Casey.
Thanks.
You have a good picture of the hat that yeah. we can put in the show notes.
Yeah.
And we'll definitely link to wherever you want to link on Ravelry or whatever.
Yeah.
Is it, it's for sale on Ravelry?
Uh-huh.
And it's a Fair Isle design. I've knit it myself. It is yeah. a very cool hat. Yes.
Yep.
Okay, Casey, I'm glad you brought that up. Good. Congratulations.
Thanks. It was, and to anybody who's interested in designing, it's a lot more work than you think it is. So I have four hats of the same design because we had to try out different things.
Yeah, that's a funny thing is people, especially project knitters, designing is a lot of knitting and unraveling and re-knitting and unraveling to get it just right.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's harder for project knitters who want to just get through the thing and have the thing done, right?
Right.
It's, you have to love it. You have to love it, right?
Yep. So.
Okay.
Okay.
And I know that now I'm looking at the questions here, and the first few questions are Casey questions. Yes. She gets priority over everyone else who's asking. She gets to
I'm
ask.
Butting in line.
Okay, you go ahead with your knitting questions, Casey.
So my first question was about steeking. Actually, I have two questions about steeking because I'm working on a sweater, and if you've seen it on Instagram, I'm almost halfway done with this huge sweater. Because it's on bulky
We'll link
yarn.
To your sweater on Instagram in yeah. the show notes too.
It's okay. called Watkins and it's a quince pattern. So I did my swatch test And I just wasn't sure if you have, when you're doing your steek crochet stitches to make the steek, does it have to be in a yarn the same color as what your main sweater is?
Okay, that's the first steeking question, we have, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, Casey's asking about steeking. Steeking is the actual verb is to cut up your knitting. You knit what is going to be a cardigan, but you knit it in a tube like a pullover, and then you cut down the front of the pullover that you've knit to create a cardigan. And there, to make steeking work, you need to use really sticky wool yarn that is not likely to unravel. And there are a few different ways of making it, so securing it so that it won't unravel. One of those ways, I have a video on this, you do this little crochet thing up and down each side so that the stitches are more secured, and it makes this fold over area so that you can pick up stitches for the button band or whatever else you're doing. We'll link to my steeking video in the show notes. And then another way of doing it is to use a sewing machine and to stitch up and down the area that you're going to cut, and that secures the stitches, and then you can cut. But when you're steeking a sweater, there is a special little area of knitting that you're actually knitting in where you know you're going to cut. It isn't steeking. I haven't heard of anyone just saying, oh, I knit this pullover and now I want a cardigan and now I'm just going to cut it. It's usually something you've planned for. So that's the background. Now, Casey's question is, when you're doing that little crochet thing, does that need to be in a coordinating color of yarn? And ultimately the answer is no, because it's going to fold in right there and you're going to pick up stitches for the button band, so that crochet chain is never going to show.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And then, so I had some steeking. I mean, it's Fair Isle, so the colors, do I need to have my floats go all the way across? Well, I don't know how to explain this, because I cut my sample and I had some shorty little pieces from the color changes, and I got nervous that those were too short, but those are going to end up kind of sticking.
Okay, what you're asking is the Fair Isle floats are going to run across the area that you're right. going to cut.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's totally normal. Okay. A lot of steek sweaters, I think steeking is kind of probably most used in Fair Isle knitting, and so the floats always run across the steeking area, and you always end up cutting through them. That okay. is absolutely normal, and they will be little short ends. There's no way you can weave those in. They yeah. aren't intended to be woven in, and that's A-okay. Makes you nervous, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, because I'm like, what if this pulls out?
It won't pull out.
Yeah.
If you've done all the planning up to well that point, and your yarn is sticky.
Yeah.
I still okay. get questions from people about, I've knit this cotton sweater, and I want a card. I want to cut it to do this or that. It isn't always to make it a cardigan. And I always say, no, the first rule of steeking, sticky wool. You have to use sticky wool to make it work.
Yeah.
Okay. Do we answer all the Casey questions or?
No, I have another one for something else. So I've totally got startitis this weekend, and I found a pattern for a Christmas sweater that actually is in a weight of yarn that I had this big skein of green
yarn. Tell us about this Christmas sweater, because I only think ugly Christmas sweater. Is this
it's
a cute
really
Christmas
cute. It's subtle. It's like a cropped, which I may actually make not cropped, but it's just a fitted pullover, and it has a tree that's just designed in the, it's a reverse stockinette, and so the tree is in stockinette, and the rest of the sweater is reverse stockinette. And it's
okay,
just
yeah.
from the stitch pattern. So it's really subtle, but you can add beads to it if you want to be a little kitschy. So it's worsted weight yarn, but my beads are really small. And I watched your video on beads that we'll link to, adding beads, which looks like those beads were kind of the same. The opening was like the same as your yarn size, if you're going to
yeah.
use the crochet hook. But my beads are much smaller. They're just little tiny ones. So will I have to sew those in with regular thread?
That might be your only option.
Yeah.
I want to link to the sweater that you're talking about, because people are going to want to see that. And like you said, we'll link to my bead video. Mm-hmm. The way that I show how to put beads on things in my bead video and in the video that I did for Tempestry Project recently is that you need to be able to fit your little crochet hook through the hole of the bead, grab the yarn, and pull that yarn through the hole in the bead double.
Yeah.
So that you end up with a loop sticking out at the end of the bead, the top of the bead. So if you can't do that, then sewing the beads on is a great option, I think.
Yeah.
That's a great option. Is it a million beads or is it a few beads?
No, I think I'm just going to do a couple, like maybe a dozen or whatever, like on the ends of the tree. What do you call that?
The branches? Yeah, that sounds nice. Yeah. The ends of the tree. Like I can see you. And so I know what you're talking about. But yes, actually using words, you're talking about the end of the branches where you would put in an ornament.
Yeah.
You want to put the little bead. No, I think that sounds nice. Yeah. And this sounds like the prettiest Christmas sweater I've ever heard about.
Yeah, it's really cute. And it's kind of, you know, it's like kind of trendy because it's cropped and fitted and cutesy. So
you can wear a cropped sweater like that in the winter. I mean, just put like a longer white blouse under it, untucked.
Yeah. Or I actually may make it a little bit longer if I can make the yarn work, but it looks really cute in the picture on Ravelry because a lot of people who are modeling it are wearing it over a dress. So
oh, yeah.
It looks really cute with a big kind of a vintage style skirt. So,
well, there we go.
Now I'm going to have to go buy a plaid skirt to go with my cute sweater.
That's how you build a wardrobe is you knit the sweater and then you have to buy the things to match it.
Exactly.
Are you going to finish it by Christmas?
You know, it'd be really cute. Like kind of 1960s style plaid pants, like tight pants.
Oh, yeah. That'd I have really some of those.
So I'm going shopping after this. But I don't think I'm going to finish the sweater before Christmas.
That's what I was asking, like, because you have two sweaters going now. Are you putting the...
I put the big one on hold because it's 13 size needles, which my hands are like, ugh, it's tiring.
Oh, yeah. And then it starts to get heavy on those big needles. Yeah.
But I really want to make this, I really got excited about this Christmas one. So I put the other one on hold for now and I'm going to focus on that and see if I can maybe squeeze it in a month.
There you go.
It's worsted weight. It's going pretty fast.
That's good. That's good. It sounds cute. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah.
This episode is also sponsored by The Yarn Attic. The Yarn Attic is a full-service local yarn store in central New Jersey and online web store. So when a customer shops online, he or she is supporting an LYS, a local yarn shop, not just a web store. The Yarn Attic stocks over 75 brands of yarn and accessories sourced globally. Their selection includes yarns by creative, small indie dyers, as well as national and international brands. They ship worldwide 7 days a week and generally ship on the same day an order is received. And that's so important because I talk all the time about yarn and then sometimes I get yarn and yarn shops and everything else. And I get messages from people outside the U.S. or outside of North America telling me, I want to make that thing and I can't get the yarn. They don't ship to wherever. So I'm glad the Yarn Attic does. They also offer complimentary yarn winding. You can buy your yarn and then in the checkout process, you have the option of asking to get that yarn wound. And we have a coupon code for Very Pink listeners. Just use the coupon code VERYPINK. For U.S. customers, that's free shipping on orders over $35. And for international customers, it's an $8.45 credit towards international shipping on orders over $35. And we will have all the details about that in the show notes.
Okay, now we get to go to other people's questions.
Finally.
All right. I just wanted to send a quick comment about your flick style of knitting and your YouTube tutorial. It was easy to master flick knitting doing the knit stitch. It didn't take long to learn. It's easy and so much faster. I don't even have to think about it anymore. It's muscle memory. However, the purl stitch wasn't as easy. I started a large stockinette stitch shawl and hated doing the purl rows. After reviewing your YouTube tutorial, I made the decision to flick knit the entire shawl, knit and purl stitched. I won't lie, the first few hours were frustrating. I almost changed my mind and went back to English style purling, but lo and behold, it just clicked. I wish I could tell all the people who start using flick style knitting just to stick with it. They will love it and wish they'd started it sooner. Funny story, I ended up with a very sore thumb muscle while mastering flick knitting. My thumb muscle was sore for a few days. My husband got a kick out of my knitting injury. Thanks for all your YouTube tutorials. I refer back to them regularly. Jody.
Oh, Jody, I'm glad you stuck with it. It worked for you. It was the same thing with me when I started flicking, and this is back before there was a lot happening online with knitting. This is just me and my knitting, and I made up this way of knitting, although I didn't make it up. There were other people doing it as well, but we didn't know each other. So in my mind, I made it up, and I figured if I can get this, it's just going to be so much easier to knit. And I did, and it took me a long time to get it right, but it does happen. You know, it takes practice, but it does happen. There was something else I was going to say. Oh, yeah. All the knitting that I did this weekend, I actually have a knitting injury, too. My elbows are very sore. And it's people email me and say, what do I do when my hands get tired or whatever? And I always say, the only advice I have is to just back off the knitting for a little while. You know, take a break.
Yeah.
Don't hurt yourself knitting. And this weekend, I did not have that option. I had to keep knitting. And it's kind of par for the course this time of year. I'm busy with knitting. Yeah. I do a lot of it. And the symptoms, we're going to hopefully have a listener who's a physical therapist or a doctor and tell me what's going on. The symptoms are that of tennis elbow.
That's what I have.
But you get tennis elbow from knitting?
I was getting muscle spasms. I'm actually going to go back to Stephen, my chiropractor, who I interviewed in an early episode of this podcast.
Yeah.
And I know because I do this crazy class where we do a lot of like body weight exercises and push-ups and stuff, and so my elbow's been kind of clicking. But this weekend when I was knitting so much, I started getting muscle spasms in my elbow.
Oh geez.
But you need to stretch your fingers back. Do a lot of that kind of stretching with pull your fingers back forward and down, because it's actually all the way up.
It's not my fingers that bother me. It's
I
my
know,
elbows.
But that's muscles connected. Like, put your arm out and bring your fingers forward, or bring your fingers back and stretch that, because that's going to stretch that hole. That's what my trainer was telling me, like this whole
feels
area.
Nice. Okay. Well, we should link to that chiropractor episode.
We've got a lot of links on this episode.
Okay, let's keep going on the questions.
Okay.
That wasn't really a question. That was just good advice from Jody.
Yeah, it was just a fun feedback. Hi, Stacy and Casey. Stacy, in your videos for Icelandic and Russian bind-offs, you said you were going to test them out for the cuffs of toe-up socks, and I was wondering how did they each work out. I just used the Russian bind-off on a cowl, and it seemed pretty stretchy to me. It laid much more nicely and flat than the usual stretchy bind-off. I was thinking about using it on your new sock pattern, but I thought I would check out and see if it worked for you. Thank you both for all that you do to make us better knitters. You're the best. Margot from Anchorage, Alaska.
Hi, Margot from Alaska. I can say that I have tried every bind off on socks, and I've tried them all, and I couldn't tell you one from the other, because there's a bind off that I've found that is my absolute favorite. I used to always use a yarn over bind off at the cuffs of socks. We're talking about toe up socks where you're binding off at the top of the sock. I used to always use a yarn over bind off, or a version of the yarn over bind off, depending on, well, when I was designing. When I'm designing sock patterns, it's just kind of what works and making it work. Now what I use is the simple stretchy bind off, and I have a video for that we'll link to, where you knit two and then knit those same stitches together through the back loop. That is the best stretchy bind off that I've found, and it's the best stretchy bind off for socks. I think we've talked about this in the podcast before. Especially the yarn over bind off will give you a fluted edge when the sock isn't on a foot. But when you put the sock on a foot, it's fine. But I still get emails from people who are really upset with their knitting because they have that fluted edge when the sock isn't on a foot. And I always say, you know, but when you put it on, it's fine. Why?
So who cares?
But they can't live with the way it looks when it's not on a foot. I don't know. But the stretchy bind off doesn't look like that.
Maybe it looks a little feminine if they're giving it to a man or whatever.
Oh, is that it?
No, I don't know. That's what I'm guessing.
Do you think that? I should ask them. It's like, really, what's going on psychologically that you're not happy with this when you know it looks good on their foot? I don't know. But the stretchy bind, to answer Margot's question, I don't know. I've tried all these. I couldn't tell you one from the other just because it's been a while. And the simple stretchy bind off is the one I use pretty much anytime I need some stretch in my bind off. It's really successful and it looks really good. Yeah, let's get one more question in.
Hi there, ladies, and possibly puppies or dogs. And kitties.
Yeah, always.
I work with yarn a lot. I crochet for charity and knit for family. Here's my question. I use all types of fibers, man-made, animal, and plant. Just depends on a project. My hands get dry. Is there a certain lotion you should or should not use? It seems the more I knit, the drier my hands can get from the yarn. Any suggestions? I don't want to ruin the yarn. Thank you for the library of helpful videos, patterns, and podcasts. Stacy, you taught me to knit, and Casey, you educate me with your interviews. Keep up the great work. Love from Debbie in Virginia.
And she gave us a cute little sheep emoji. To answer the question, I don't know that there's any kind of lotion that you can't use. Casey and I both like to use hand balm. What is that brand that you use, Casey? We've linked to it before.
I've got Lolo Bar. Something like that.
And I have one that's a, now I can't think of the name. It's in the other room, but it's a shea butter balm. And so it's not really lotion that you're rubbing into your hands. It's just more of a balm that you're using on your fingertips so that, well, no, I do use it all over my hands, but it keeps my hands from being greasy or sticky, and it gives my dry hands just enough so that I can knit comfortably without really the feeling of lotion on my hands. But I'll tell you what, right now I have a problem with dry skin because I have the heater going, the fireplace going, and I like to take hot showers when it's cold. Yeah. And every winter I dry my skin out like crazy. I have started to use the humidifier that I keep in my bedroom that I use overnight to keep my eyes from drying out, my sinuses from drying out. I've been running that in the living room. And it's making a big difference in the way my skin feels just to have it going all day, putting moisture back in the air.
Yeah.
Do you use a humidifier?
No. Our house is like super eco-sealed, so we don't have an issue with that. But okay. I just found this. I just made my own lotion. It's like a body butter, but basically anything that's really like cocoa butter or shea butter, it's really oily when you first put it on, but that kind of stuff I think is the best, especially if you're using natural fibers because it's like a natural oil. And a lot of those balms
Have you had an experience with lotion ruining the yarn or anything? No. I don't think that's something she has to worry about.
No, I have had it. Like the one that I'm working on a project and I had put a bunch of it. I rubbed it all over my hands before knitting and it still kind of has the scent of it, but that'll go when I wash it at the end.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's one of the reasons we wash things is because everything that's on our hands ends up on our knitting.
Yeah.
That's the way it goes. If people want to comment on my website and tell us what you're using on your hands that feels great, we can give Debbie some ideas for what she can use. We'll link to the two that we talked about that I can't remember the name of the one that I used. So that's something. People can participate. Tell us.
Yeah.
And better yet, hey, here, we can bring this full circle. Maybe there's someone who's making this awesome stuff and selling it on Etsy, and then they're one of the independent advertisers I would like to have on the show.
That would be perfect.
That would be perfect, bringing it full circle. Okay, see, that's all we have time for this week. If people want to find you online.
My website is kcknits.com, and that's the letter K and the letter C.
Very good. And if you want to find me, there is, of course, the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel and verypink.com. And Casey and I both have all of our social media buttons there on both of our websites. And that is all that we have for this week. So until next week, stay warm, my friends.